Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, I guess I deserve it. Just went down to my car, came back, accosted by a woman for my wearing shorts and sandals. Does not approve.
Sandals are a bit much.
Do you still think this means I'm dressing like a jerk?
Yes.
Because I'm wearing shorts?
Yes. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that it could be like sort of a... You know, what am I doing by wearing shorts?
Although
sort of
today,
like flipping off everybody? Is that what I'm doing?
I don't know. You're that. Didn't we talk about this with Eric with the two gloves golf guy thing last? Was that us? Again, Baker Mayfield and Allen had a thing where they were tossing barbs at each other.
I don't remember that.
And the two golf gloves was a thing. Oh, did I maybe visit? I talked about this with Nate. It was me and Nate, I think, one day. Okay. You weren't here.
Yeah, maybe Eric then, because I missed a day with
Yeah,
Eric.
That's right. He was rescheduled.
Well, you got him.
Yeah, anyway.
It's right here.
It's warmer today, but like the other day, Eric, it was like 36 degrees, and my guy here is in shorts and like sandals.
Honestly, what's the difference between 36 and 50?
I mean, a lot is different about that, in my opinion. I'm playing golf in 50 and sunny. I'm not playing golf in 36-degree weather. Now, okay. If it's hot inside the studio and you're uncomfortable in there because you're warm, or if you guys are doing this from home, but I think you do it in studio most of the time.
Yes,
most of the time, yes.
I don't – yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys at the facility with the Bills that wear sandals or shorts or whatever to work just because you're going to be inside most of the day, and I get that.
You're in Florida. I bet you're not, you know, bundled up.
Yeah.
I am in shorts and sandals myself. I was going to make a joke, but I didn't really want to rub it in
Yeah,
Bulldog.
Well, the other day, it was cold. Like, there was, like, frost on my truck, right? And he's in shorts and sandals, and we talked about it, and I said, I think you look like a jerk.
I
think you're the guy that people were like, look at this jerk. Look at this guy. What is this guy trying to prove? Shorts guy in the winter.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, what are you trying to prove? What are you compensating for?
I'm not. I'm working in a studio for hours every day that's in the 80s. It's got to be 80 degrees in here always. The lights are right in my face. I don't know. I thought they were going to fix the carpet this week.
I don't know. I managed to wear pants.
Now that all these conversations are recorded and you guys put out all those great Instagram clips and YouTube videos and whatnot, I'm assuming the lights get hotter when they're making their faces
I'm super pumped about the number of videos that might be circulating out there of me talking about how much I trusted Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown against Houston's defensive ends last night. That's not going to leave a mark.
You were at least loyal, Bulldog. You were at least loyal.
Eric, how in the world... Maybe you and Chris were rolling your eyes when I said that to you guys last night during the roundtable. I don't know. But how in the world do you watch that game unfold and not give those guys some more help than they did? That's the most frustrating thing to me about the game by a lot is that I missed on expecting them to perform better, but that there wasn't a plan in case it went badly.
No, I'm with you. And I said that throughout the broadcast, like, okay, we need to adjust the plan. They did at one point. I remember two chips, one Dawson Knox in particular, Knox Will Anderson. He goes all the way around the defensive tackle to try and find a new rush lane. Well, that just gives Josh an easy escape out to the right. They had a nice play there. And I said, well, okay, we'll get back to that. And oftentimes you don't need a double chip. Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you don't need a double chip unless it's a really long developing route, because like we've talked about here on the show so many times, it often takes two guys to get a sack. Like, two guys got to win as defensive linemen for there to be a true sack on the play, unless it's circumstances. I'll just say that. If it's third and long and quarterback's trying to make a play, okay. But like a first, second down, normal third and medium, it generally takes two guys. So if you chip one of the defensive ends, now the quarterback's really only worried about one of them. With that chip, we essentially get two double teams. So two guys only have to win a one-on-one. Well, last night was a different animal. Those two guys were flying off the edge. It seemed like they were able to jump the count consistently. You know, Josh Allen talked about the fourth and one play with the call coming in late and them just being right at the edge of that play clock. Well, the defensive line, good defensive linemen are in their stance, or they're in a two-point stance watching the play clock.
Right.
Like, okay, well, you got 3 seconds left. Whatever's coming, there's your count, and I'm jumping it, and it makes it extremely difficult on those tackles, especially when it's a silent cadence on the road where you're all going off the same movement of the center or guard. And so, yeah, those guys wreaked havoc last night. I said it on the roundtable. I thought they were the best duo, not individually, the best duo of edge rushers in the NFL. But I also would say that we have one of the best tackle tandems in the league. And last night they beat us. Now, part of it, Spencer Brown hurt his shoulder, and good on him for gutting it out there. But that's a really tough matchup with either of those guys if you're playing with one arm.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was. So you give a guy credit like that. I mean, Spencer Brown's been paid very well in this league. If he bowed out, no one would say anything, but he's the type of guy that says, I'll try and grind this out. They ended up taking him out late for Ryan Vandermark, and we'll see what Sean says in regards to if he's day-to-day, week-to-week, or whatever else with his updates today. But, yeah, those guys, they give a lot of teams fits. We just gave them a lot of opportunities, and then you combine that with the fact that for a lot of the game, we didn't have great early down production, and we're in obvious pass out rush situations where those guys can just tee off.
You tripped a wire for me with the fourth and one and the play coming in late, because that maybe that's a factor in one thing I noticed looking back at it. Because I know those plays, you know, they've tried to throw out of that and it didn't work. And so it's like, why not just give the ball, to sneak it? Why is Cook not on the field? So they hand it to Cook and it gets blown up. Looking at that play from behind the Bills' offense, right? So end zone view behind the Bills, it's plainly out. There's nobody in front of McGovern on that play. And I'm trying to figure out in my head why Allen doesn't just see that and take the snap. You don't have to tell anybody. Just follow McGovern. And maybe they could have a sign. Maybe you could tell us if that's something that you'd have. You know, some sort of tap he can give him or whatever. But even if he doesn't, like, it's just green in front of McGovern. Is the play getting in late maybe a reason why he doesn't feel like he can pivot to something else?
Certainly, that could be the case. And we've been through this. I've never played in Joe Brady's offense, so I actually enjoy that, because I never feel like if I'm making a take, I'm ever giving away the company secrets, because right. I'm not in the meeting rooms with them, and I never played his offense. From past offenses I've played in, you always have some type of, oh my gosh, they gave us this look, and you'd get under center, make a call, and the receivers, nobody needs to know it except for the quarterback and O-line. Like, we'd run that at times, and the running back's fooled. He's on his track to his, you know, run. The receivers are out blocking like it's an outside run or whatever it was, and then we just run the sneak for first. The most egregious one ever, and one of my favorite plays of my career, we had 3rd and 7 against the Eagles at home. That was when the Eagles had the dream team. Ryan Fitzpatrick's our quarterback. I believe this is 2011.
Sounds right.
And it's 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. They have only Nnamdi Asamoah in the box. He's covering Fred Jackson because at the time he was our leading receiver. So he's the only one in the box. We have 2 wide 3 techniques. And Fitz walks to the line of scrimmage like he's going to point to the mic. And our QB sneak at the time was called Doug. So he taps me and he goes, Doug. I'm assuming he's under center at this point. I snap it like it's an under center snap. He follows me. I block Asamoah. He runs for 9 yards and we seal the game. I mean, if that fails, Fitz is booed out of the stadium. It's 3rd and 7, and we run a QB sneak for 7 yards. I say that to prove a point that in most offenses, you can get to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it again just to refresh my memory. Not that the whole game comes down to this, but you know, it's a fourth down and they're in scoring territory there, right on the edge of it, right on the edge of the red zone, I think. And I just don't, I can't fathom why something else didn't happen there. Like, I understand a different play call being made, but on the field, I can't understand what happened there.
To your point, in the moment, I felt like that was likely the game. It was just so hard to move the football. You're down in their territory. This is a defense that gives up 260 yards a game. We have terrible field position the whole night. It was going to be tough to score points. And I thought there we needed 7. Like, when we didn't get that, I did not feel good about our chance of winning. I understand we had other chances. But in that moment, I felt like you did, where it's like, well, there's the game, because that was our opportunity. We needed to do that. And forever, New England, when they were rolling with Tom Brady on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, they had one play call that essentially could be 3 different things. The play call was a QB sneak. If everyone's packed in, alert, alert, it's an off-tackle run. As soon as we think you expect that, it's either a play action or even back to the QB sneak. So it might be a fake alert, whatever it is. And then they would get back. And that's from talking to coaches on their staff. They're like, we essentially had one third down call. It could just be 3 different things.
Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Eric, what's the, in your mind, the state of the union here after that loss? I mean, I'm not sure you'd find it shocking. You know how it, you probably know how it is in here. I think the caller we took last before talking to you referenced the Titanic. I don't know if you would go that far, but it's extreme. 7-4 though. Next week's game got a lot bigger at Pittsburgh with this loss. New England, Cincinnati Sunday will be watched closely. Pittsburgh, Chicago. Like, we're sort of relying on the other teams now a little bit, but just within the Bills, how much stress is there, or even panic?
I don't know that there's panic, because they've been in this position so many times over the last 5 years and it's worked out. So you think, okay, we could do it again. I would say there's not panic, but there's an extreme sense of urgency. Like, okay, our margin for error on wins and losses is out the window. I would say this year, maybe even more than previous years, based upon injuries and the makeup of the roster, our margin for error is less just within a game than it usually is. You know, it's, you know, in the past, it's, we had a couple turnovers, we overcame it. We had a bunch of penalties, we overcame it. We had terrible field position, and the offense went for 500 yards. Right now, I just feel like with the offense kind of on a roller coaster ride, the defense being banged up and having their struggles, if special teams has a bad week, if we get a bunch of penalties, we have a couple turnovers, we just don't have as much a margin for error, if that makes sense. And so I would say there's a lot of urgency, but we have so many guys that have been in the locker room when we were 5-5 a couple of years, or what was that, 2 years ago?
6-6.
And yeah. We've been, 6-6. We've been in similar positions and come back to win the division and all that. And I think collectively as a Bills fan base, and myself included, we thought last year of high mark, all the continuity and everything we got coming back, we want to host some playoff games in the final year of our stadium. And the fact that that might not end up being a reality, I mean, it hurts. To the point where this isn't going to happen. But one of my son was born on January 11th. We could, if we were hosting a playoff game wildcard weekend, we would host a playoff game on his birthday. And one of his Christmas wishes was to bring his friends to a Bills home playoff game. Like, my son just assumes we host playoff games every year because we do, because we have pretty much since he's been alive. But that's not going to happen, just for the record. That's a very expensive birthday trip. But all that being said, I think all of us are thinking, wow, we might not get a playoff game at Highmark in the final season at the old stadium.
Yeah, right. We spent a lot of time in the summer, you know, when we would, you know, get into conversations about that Jet game, the final game, you know, not knowing it's the final game because of, you know, the playoffs. That's on the ropes right now.
Ticket prices might be going up on the Jet game.
Right. It's really, really tough.
Yeah, they could be going up, and then, you know, who knows what happens. You get the dance. The AFC is so wide open right now. You know, Denver doesn't look unbeatable. Colts don't look unbeatable. Kansas City's on the outside looking in right now. You feel like if you get in the dance and you get hot, you could if we don't have critical injuries down the stretch, I have full confidence that this Bills team can come out of the AFC.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
They get in the dance, even if they have to go on the road, but there could be upsets to where they end up hosting playoff games there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's been on my mind since last night's game ended, or even before it ended. Like, what are we looking at here? Because it's always two things. It's always the standings, but also, do they look like a team that can really do it? And last night, they did not. I mean, not being able to protect the quarterback is kind of a new one for them, for all the other challenges that we've seen this year. Defensively, like, I don't know if they could hold up. I thought, Eric, last night, I don't know if I want to, you know, expect you to sort of go with me on this, but in the first half, Mills was off on like every pass. And he had guys, he completed four maybe, but it was just like not happening there. Like, you have to win here. And the last drive of the first half was, I mean, I just couldn't believe it that Houston was able to score so easily, even with like they burn a timeout with the clock stopped at 12 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever that was, and they still score. Like, Cam Lewis is falling down. I don't know. I mean, I'll try to spin it the other way and say that, like so many of the Bills' losses these last few years, they're right there. 4th and 1, minute left, down 4. Like, I wouldn't want to have bet against them in that spot, but it didn't happen. So I think if you look at it that way, at least, you can be optimistic.
For sure. And yeah, Davis Mills starts the game 1 for 8 and then goes 7 for 8 to end the half, and they go into the halftime with a lead. And no, I'm with you. I mean, this team doesn't generally lose the backup quarterbacks. They don't generally lose to Tua. Penix has a career game against us. But then you see flashes from this defense. You know, the second half they give up 3 points. That's only off the Shakir fumble, and they forced 4 3-and-outs in the second half. Like, it's good football. I mean, that's what you could say, like, that's what you should do against a backup quarterback. But over the last couple weeks, Davis Mills has had 280 yards plus in both games, or 279 plus in both games. So, capable thrower of the football. But it's the defense, just like the offense, is kind of a roller coaster ride right now.
Yeah. Your opinion on that Houston defense. I said earlier, Eric, I don't watch, and I'm sure you don't either, every game every week, right? This whole window where the Bills have been a championship contending level team. But that's maybe the best defensive performance I've seen in any game that I've watched in 5 or 6 years since the Bills have gotten to the level they're at. I mean, that was just all levels, right? I mean, the secondary, taking it away, punching the ball out on Shakir, like you referenced. Up front, the tackles were good. The edge guys are elite. I mean, that was really something to watch.
No, they're an excellent unit. And not even in a creative way. Now, they did play more downhill. They had some more run blitzes on first and second down when we got in heavier looks than you generally see from Houston's defense. But from top to bottom, they are complete. They are excellent at corner, both of them. They are excellent off the edges. Best duo of corners in the league, the best duo of pass rushers off the edge of the league. Their linebackers are built for this day and age of football where they can fly around. They're a little undersized, but they get in passing lanes. They're active. Safeties are good. Their nickel is one of the top nickels in the league. He was out for the game.
Right.
But when he comes back, Petrie, when he comes back, he's great. I thought the weakness was their defensive tackles, but they're both active to where they can rush the passer. If they move, they can beat you. They're not going to run right through you. You know, we saw Tim Settle here.
Right.
And you know, he wasn't a factor with us. And then Sheldon Rankins, he was a top 12 pick out of my college, Louisville. Good player. You know, he's drafted right when the undersized Aaron Donald defensive tackle became popular, probably overdrafted, if I'm being honest, even though I really like him. But he's bounced around some. But, you know, he's a smaller guy. And so you think, like, okay, well, we could take advantage of that, but they're so good at all three levels, it's hard to take advantage of those two defensive tackles.
No conversation of ours with Eric Wood this time of year would be complete if not some reference to or question about the Thanksgiving weigh-in contest. So
I like it.
Are we doing that? What's the plan this year?
I'm not sure. Probably not. I'm down in Florida with the family. I travel every weekend for work, so I'd love nothing more this weekend. My wife won't tune into this. I sound like you guys will tune into the broadcast. My wife's tired of hearing my voice anyways. But I would love nothing more than to sit in Louisville this weekend and do nothing. My wife wanted to get out of the house, which I completely understand. So we're going to spend some time out in Florida. We come back Wednesday. I don't know. It depends. I just feel like I'm going to eat and drink for the next 5 days. And come Thursday, I'm not going to want to stuff my face and see if I can gain 15 pounds. But we have talked about, me and Richie have talked about having a reunion and getting our families together for Thanksgiving like we always did up in Buffalo. But I will say, we miss our Buffalo holidays because we always hosted it at our house. And you get people from all over the country and people with different backgrounds, and everyone's got a different style of Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they bring different dishes, and everyone has a blast. And I will admit, we definitely miss those times.
Yeah, you know, right? I mean, I think that that's probably the thing about being an ex-player that you would miss the most is, well, it could be anyway, just that sort of camaraderie with teammates and friends and everything. So not to make it sad. Well, enjoy Florida. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric, and we will talk next a week from Monday.
Sounds good. You guys have a great Thanksgiving as well and a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude. Eric Wood, his appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
How about the ref getting hurt?
I can't recall that happening.
I've seen hockey refs.
Yep.
Get cut.
But the cart came out for the ref.
The report from a few minutes ago is his Achilles was not torn. Oh, get back out there.
Right.
Who's Terry McCauley? Like, get out there. Come on. Didn't you take an oath? He's in the booth up there all like, I don't know, was it clear and obvious? Was this guy's injury not clear and obvious? Get out there. We need a referee. I thought the time was now to start holding constantly. Maybe they did.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. Did anybody have like a running clock of like real time of how long the third quarter actually took? Because it felt like that third quarter, is it Saturday yet? Like, I just could not believe how interminably long that third quarter seemed. And nothing happened. Like, right. There's injuries. Is that when the ref got hurt? Like, just it was one calamity after another. And holy moly, that just took forever.
I had under 43, and halftime was 20-16. And at some point after that long third quarter, I'm like, you know what?
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, I'm not dead yet. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. Football Friday. Lines are open for you for the next hour. We'll be back in a snap. This break is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.